Welcome to another episode of Pitch Invasion, where we're going to make sure that by the time we are done, we have invaded your thoughts, we've invaded your footballing mind, as well as touching on a whole lot of things that have happened in the world of football over the past week, and also looking forward to what's still to come. A lot to talk about this week, but before we continue, let me remind you, my name is Loazizi Qubu.
I'm Xolo Magwaza. A lot of extra to grind today, really. Like, we need to put some people out to grind today.
We have a lot to discuss. Yeah.
And Emeka Enyedike, I'm back. I'm better. I'm not in Cape Town anymore. I'm back here. And
the national team is in Cameroon.
Yeah, and the Super Eagles are in Cameroon. And even though Liverpool didn't play this week, all the boys, Van Dijk was on fire. Trent Alexander-Arnold and, of course, Joe Gomez, all Shaqiri, they were all on. I can't wait for the next big game.
That's basically what he's trying to tell us.
You're listening to the Pitch Invasion podcast, a podcast for football tribalists.
Before we do touch on the English Premier League and perhaps even on the UEFA Nations League as well, let's start with the big game of the weekend as far as South African football is concerned. No, this is not 3 weeks ago where they played in a league game. This is cup competition, which perhaps will provide a different challenge altogether for both Pirates and Chiefs. It is the Telkom Knockout semi-finals taking place, Bola, all the way in Durban.
So it's a derby in Durban. But this is going to be... I'm actually excited for this because, we did touch upon it a few weeks ago that, you can't get enough of derbies. Yeah. There can never be too many derbies. So both teams, there's a lot to play for, the league is not, there's still a long way to play for
there's
the league. So the cup, you're two victories away from immediate success. And what more for both fans, sets of fans, we haven't enjoyed cups for some time now to actually get one, now. And, the biggest hurdle, obviously, is, your rival. So for me, I think there's a lot at stake for both teams and also for, the Chiefs manager, because, I heard some rumors somewhere that Dwight York is interested in
the
Chiefs post. So, who knows? Maybe his fate might be sealed in this game. Excuse me. So, for Chiefs, it's a big game as well because, they're considered the cup kings.
Yeah.
But you can't consider yourself the cup kings if you haven't won, in about 4 years or something like that. So, and they also haven't beaten Pirates in a very long time, in a while. So, I think Chiefs are the underdogs big time. Pirates are coming in. Their players are on form, second in the log. They've just beaten Chiefs. So, I think it's going to be a great game for South Africa all around.
Oh, top now, actually.
Oh, yes, that's right.
The front top. Before we touch on a sellout crowd, I think we weren't terribly surprised, and the tickets got sold out in about 2 hours, if I'm not mistaken.
But isn't that the problem when you do move it away from a 90,000-seater stadium? Is that obviously the lesser stadiums, will get...
I don't think so. I mean, look, Durban is...
Maybe not lesser in terms of the quality of venue, but lesser in terms of numbers.
I agree, but I'm saying that, with or without that, one thing is guaranteed. Every time that game has been played in Durban, it's been sold out. I mean, Kaizer Chiefs fans in Durban alone will fill that stadium.
Oh no, that's very true.
Are you sure? Not AmaZulu fans.
No,
but hidden agenda.
I promise you. The last time I was in Durban for SoccerX, we had all of these delegates from Europe, especially guys from England, and we were riding on the bus to the game between Kaizer Chiefs and AmaZulu, which happened within that period, and they were asking me, who's the away team here and who's the home team? There were more Chiefs fans walking to the stadium, and then when we got in, they outnumbered the AmaZulu fans.
That is where my problem is, Amika. That right there is where my problem is that I understand they're trying to grow the game, they're trying to take it to all parts of the country, but would it not serve best grow the local club first, grow that brand? Maybe the PSL can also have a helping hand in growing that brand, because it's something that the Premier League have done quite well in the last 5 to 10 years, especially with the TV rights deals. Was why give the top six or top eight the larger chunk of money? What's 5-10 million pounds going to do to Manchester United? Not much, but 5-10 million pounds to a Stoke back then, to a Bournemouth, that makes a huge difference.
They do it with the FA Cup, where if the game ends in a draw, then the other team
gets it. I get that. But
for some teams, it's not so much that they progress, is, you know, for them to get the lock of the door and they play a big team and they have a sold-out capacity that probably pays maybe a quarter of their bills for the season.
But going back to now, linking it with why I have a problem with these games being moved to other provinces, is that, you know, when you have Chiefs come to any province, when you have Pirates come to any province, right, it's the big team. We all get goo-goo-eyed and, you know, we can't wait to see them. In Europe, it's different because of the marketing. In Europe, it's that team has to go down. You know, Real Madrid are in town. If you support Sporting Gijón, maybe, of course, you like Real Madrid. They're the big team. But they have to go down today.
Yeah.
So everybody's a Sporting Gijón fan, and Real Madrid must go down. But the marketing around that, the patriotism around that. So for me, when you bring the sort of derby, 2Ks it in, you know, it sort of just washes away that patriotism that KZN fans should have to say, you know what, we want to see these two teams go down.
Yeah.
We want to see those two teams getting taken down. So now, guess what, when Chiefs come again, let's say Chiefs or Pirates do win this game, and then the next Chiefs AmaZulu game in KZN, guess what? Do you see what I'm saying?
That's why
I've got a bit of an issue with that game.
I think last season we saw a very, you know, similar situation play out, but in Pietermaritzburg, the Hinakoala Stadium, where a lot of the locally based fans started to really get behind Maritzburg United whenever they played against Chiefs, Pirates, or Sundowns. So I think I hear exactly what you said.
Because they won.
I mean, it's like in Bloemfontein.
Same thing in Bloemfontein.
You get the fans get behind Celtic. Doesn't matter. I mean, remember one season Celtic was relegated, and they still had more fans than most PSL teams.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, I think that, you know, you can blame everyone. I think you got to give Chiefs credit for how they've done their marketing and how they built their brand. You know, the other teams need to step up. Teams need to step up because most of these teams are around the country do not have soul.
Mm.
You know, they can't convince people in their cities to go there. You know, I've been in Nelspruit where I'm walking around the mall and Chiefs are in town to play a game, and I'm seeing people are so excited about Chiefs. They're not excited about Aces when they were playing Aces back then. And I'm wondering, you know, what happened? Is it that some Chiefs fans moved and got jobs? And I was asking people in the mall. I was going from shop to shop asking them. And they're like, no, we live here, we grew up here, we're from here, but we're Chiefs fans.
Mm.
You know, so it's down to marketing and branding.
I mean, I think it's going to do a whole lot of good for the Moses Mabhida Stadium anyway, to have both Chiefs and Pirates playing there. It's going to be a fantastic spectacle from a fan's perspective. Here's my point. Ola, you mentioned Coach Giovanni Solinas of Kaizer Chiefs. Here's what I want to ask you, Emi. You know, this reminds me of Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool, where he's had how many years? Three, 4 years?
3 years. Huh?
Without winning anything. But yes, we're seeing a lot of improvement in terms of the football. Micho, same story. He's had a season and a half, season and a bit now, yet to win anything. Yes, we're seeing plenty of improvement in Pirates and how they play. So when you talk about the pressure, how much of it is on him then to... This is a big opportunity, as Paula did mention. 2 games, you're champions. How much pressure is on him to... I guess maybe just give us a bit more substance to what, you know, we're seeing from Pirates at the moment.
With Pirates, it's maybe a bit excusable because they were so bad. And
Micho
from Super Sport.
Yeah, exactly. They got Micho has got them to a point where they're starting to believe again.
Yeah.
And last season, if they probably kicked in a bit earlier.
Yeah.
They would have given, you know...
They could have won the league.
They could have won the league. So we've seen them this season really, really, one moment you see them firing all cylinders and they drop a few points, but they seem to be getting there without really hitting their peak.
Mm.
And that's one thing that I think you have to give Micho credit. However, in the case of Solinas, you know, we've seen a very indifferent season. You know, one moment they're doing bad in the league and they're doing well in the cup. Maybe, you know, I felt very comfortable in the last derby that Pirates were going to win.
Yeah.
But, you know, this cup semi-final and being played in Durban, maybe there's a possibility that Chiefs might just find something. But if they clash out, then, you know, the pressure's going to ramp up more on him than
this. But I tell you what's interesting for me, right? And this is, you know, the contrast between the two coaches, right? When was the last time a Bafana Bafana team was set out where there was only one Kaizer Chiefs player?
It's been a long time.
Yeah, and Kuna's there, you know, by he's the best goalkeeper. You know, outfield player, right? So now, I look at Solinas, for example.
Chiefs fans will say to you that perhaps, you know, Pasele should have started ahead of Mkhize.
Maybe he should have started, but he didn't start. So my point is this, is that I'm looking at now the way both of these coaches have set up their teams and how they're coaching. Solinas, you know, he didn't build Kuna to the net. Kuna has been there way before Solinas, right? And even Mpahlele, right? I don't think you can say he got Mpahlele to the national team. He was always there.
Yeah.
Then you look at Micho, right? Vincent Pule, Maela, right? And you look at even some of the players, Lorch now, right? You look at some of the Pirates players that, you know, are knocking on that national team setup. Those were coached by Micho. Mm. So now I'm looking at the coaches on a coaching standpoint, and I'm asking myself, you know, like you said when you asked, you know, that question in terms of the pressure. I think the pressure is on Solinas now because he is not, I don't think he's elevating his players to the level that they should be or could be.
Yeah.
You look at Micho, for example, he's blooded a lot of those players into the national team. Some of them should be regulars, as we saw on Saturday.
I think it's a reflection, they're
top of the log, cup semi-final. So I don't think the pressure's on Micho at all because he still has a lot on his plate to say, listen, I'm taking this club forward, you know, since I've come back, you know, the only way is up. Solinas, on the other hand, it's just been an up and down season. You know, you get the Chiefs that will, you know, beat Wits the 1 week and then the next week they'll come and get turned over by Polokwane City. So you never know which Chiefs you're going to get. So Solinas is really under pressure coming.
So how much of a boost should Manyama be available? How much of a boost do you think that will be in terms of his you know, for his ambitions?
Look, anybody at Manyama's level, you know, is a boost because he hasn't been here and look at him at top of the log.
Yeah.
So to have him back is a massive boost and he adds experience and, you know, he's an established player.
And it will be his first derby, actually.
It will be his first derby as well. Yeah. So
could be enough motivation for him if he does start.
So, look, Pirates have done well without him. So to have him back in, you know, they can only be positives.
Okay, so this is a question that one has to ask then ahead of this derby, Imika. What must Solinas do to win? Because you touched on the fact that the last derby we saw a few weeks ago, I think we all were comfortable in the fact that we thought Pirates were going to win, just based on their form and how well they were playing. And I'm not sure if a lot has changed since then in terms of both sides and where they are this season. Yes, it's a cup competition, so it might be a different task altogether. But what must Solinas do to win? To firstly beat Pirates for the first time in his coaching tenure, Chiefs beat Pirates for the first time in a while, and for Chiefs to get through to the final.
The one thing he needs to do, he needs to make up his mind who his back four is.
Yeah.
He's got the best keeper in the land, and just needs to. I mean, you can't keep
that back four from that derby was horrendous, by the way.
He needs to once he can sort out that back four.
Yeah.
I think they have enough. Enough quality in that team to go forward and sneak. They may not blow teams away, but you know, Chiefs, their problem this season for me, I think, it's just the inconsistency. You know, he plays almost as if he's experimenting. He's been there long enough. You know, this is about time where he needs to decide this is who I want to go with, and that's the hallmark of any good coaches, is that finding the quality.
Yeah.
To if you don't, then you know that you might need to go and buy someone during the holiday. But I think Chiefs have enough quality in that team. Just needs to make up his mind.
I must say I was terribly disappointed with the result against Chippa United, the 0-0 draw. I thought that would be the 3 points that would get Chiefs back on track. But, you know, being held by, I mean, look, all due respect to Chippa United, but they shouldn't in any way, shape or form be holding Chiefs, this current Chiefs side, with the quality that you mentioned as well, to a goalless draw. But it is what it is. I guess by the time we do speak again, we'll know very much who the teams are in the final, because there's also the small issue of the other semi-final that we haven't touched on, Baroka up against Wits.
Yes, that's a big game, you know, guys. I know it might not make the headlines. But listen, Baroka beat Sundowns to get here. Right, so they're not afraid of anybody.
Yeah.
Okay, they're not afraid of anybody. So if Wits don't come right, you know, they'll be schooled. Excuse
themselves. Let's also mention that it wasn't just like a fluke win for Baroka. They were better than Sundowns.
They were better than Sundowns at the end. To be honest, you know, Baraka's got a bit of a fairy tale story going on here because, you know, they've actually been etching. I mean, if you remember Nedbank Cup Baraka days, right? Yeah. That was that team that you were thinking, you know, if this team could just get in the PSL,
they
could just get up into the top tier. Eventually they did, and they've been surviving ever since. But it's not just, you know, they're surviving because, you know, they don't play well. Mm. They don't have the resources like the Chiefs and the Pirates also to attract, you know, some of the top players. So for me, when I look at Baraka, it's a modern day success story of how a small club has somehow built itself, you know, to get to becoming I think we should get past giant killers because they have been beating big teams for some years now.
Yeah.
So I think they're just now fighting to be, you know, that top eight, the mainstay team that's always in the top eight. And now that they're in the cup semi-final, you know, and it's nothing new for them. Like I said, with the Nedbank Cup where they did well on two occasions. Mm-hmm. So this is nothing new for them. So for me, it would actually be nice to see Baraka in the final because this could elevate them to a new tier, as to say, in South African football.
Yeah.
So
I think
kudos maybe, to them.
I think
if they get to the final, we'll change their name to Baraka.
I was about to say, I think Gavin Hunt will probably agree with you in the sense that, I mean, for him, this is maybe a more difficult game to play than maybe had Wits had to face Chiefs or Pirates.
And I'll tell you why. Because, you know, a Chiefs-Pirates game is always down to talent.
Yeah.
You know, okay, who do they have, what position, who's playing where, and so forth. A team like Baraka, they're playing with heart. You cannot put heart. You cannot quantify that on a piece of paper and say, here's how they're going to play. They're playing with passion. They're playing with heart. They're playing with pride. And they've got nothing to lose. Absolutely. They're playing with house money.
Absolutely.
With the cup game, you know, especially how far they've come, they're like a team that, you know, has nothing to lose.
Mm. Mm.
You know, you don't want to come back up against those kind of teams, and you're taking out Sundowns. We're looking at Bidvest and thinking, you know, surely we can take them on as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, Gavin Hunt can smell blood. He knows that, you know, this team is dangerous.
Mm.
And he knows that, okay, if I take this team out, I have a chance for silverware, because Bidvest somehow never afraid of Chiefs or Pirates.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Man, we haven't seen so much of Chiefs and Pirates in the cup competitions of late.
In the finals,
This looks like one of those finals where maybe we get an upset from one of the teams on this other side of the draw.
Yeah.
Rather than with because these guys, Chiefs and Pirates, might wear themselves out.
Either way, it's going to be really good watching. It's going to be really, really good to watch both the
I'm looking forward to
first semi-final and the second.
I'm looking forward to both games. Well. I like the pairing, and particularly the fact that Baraka took out Sundowns. That's not a joke.
No, absolutely, I agree with you 100%. And before we move on to football over in Europe, I think we have to touch on. We haven't touched on it, and it's happened perhaps in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks or so. We've got our first two casualties, coaching casualties in South African football. I think Joel Masuta is gone, and Luke Emal as well. The Emal one, I'm a bit surprised. I'm not too sure what's. I mean, something's clearly been brewing over at Free State Stars, but I'm a bit surprised.
Yeah, I think for the most part, it's usually 10 games. You know, after 10 games, unless of course, cheaper. That,
unless you're in Spillendorf, you'll do it in four.
Cheaper has the record of, you know, they don't have any timeline.
But
after 10 games, you want to evaluate and say, you know, are we making progress or are we not? You know, so to for all intents and purposes, Solinas was in that kind of position a few weeks back.
Yeah.
But then he picked up with some results. But, you know, I wouldn't say I was surprised. I thought those decisions would have been made. Because, you know, I mean, once you start losing too much timeline between you and the teams up there, if you don't jack that team up by getting rid of the coach, you might.
But, you know, the thing is, though, for me, because that's my problem with South African football. There's always a panic. And whenever you look at the log in South African football, right, it's funny how 3 points can make you move up six places.
Yeah, true.
Do you know what I mean? So, you know, look, it's not like Free State Stars were playing that terrible. I mean, they've also had some close results. But, I mean, Free State Stars over the last couple of years, to be honest, as a club, you know, something's not right.
Mm.
You know, I know there was an issue with their status at some point.
Yeah,
they were
going
to be bought out and so forth. So they've been on rocky waters for some time.
They're pretty much like Newcastle.
Yeah, they're like Newcastle.
You don't know, they don't invest in the team.
Yeah,
don't can't make up their mind whether they want to sell or remain in the league.
That will obviously,
you know, and then the performance, you know, suddenly the field, yeah. they sign a new coach, and then they look like they're ready to stay. Mm. And now, these things come haunting them.
On so. Black Leopards, on the other hand, I mean, they got the Gor Mahia coach, right? Which is going to be interesting because, I mean, Gor Mahia being Gor Mahia, I mean, the giants in African football, mm. right? They might not have been, you know, winning CAF Champions League and so forth, but
well, you'll
be hard-pressed, you know, if you said Gor Mahia and most...
And they won the KPL now for the last... three seasons.
Right. I mean, let's not forget as well that Free State Stars are Nedbank Cup champions. This was in May that they won.
So that's what I'm saying. With might the be Free a State Stars one, I'm not sure. But look, Joe Masuto resigned. That was his choice.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see the Gor Mahia coach because I actually now want to see, you know, a coach that's coached at a top level club in another African league and see what he does here. Yeah. So I'm actually going to be keeping a close eye on Black Leopards.
Oh, yeah. Another team to keep a close eye on is Liverpool over the next 2 weeks or so because, Emeka, your Champions League campaign so far has been good, but there's been a bit of not so good as well. And it might be even worse if... Your two fixtures against PSG and Napoli don't go according to plan.
I don't think there's any reason to panic.
Oh,
this despite having to travel to PSG.
Yes, because
can we remind them they're playing PSG and Napoli?
Listen,
I don't think he's
not like Elder Shot and Stockdale that they play.
Listen, in that game, Liverpool just needs to avoid defeat.
In both.
I mean, they have to do one game at a time. So it's PSG. If they avoid defeat, then you know they're in a good space. PSG on the other hand needs to win that game, which means PSG will come out to play. And Liverpool thrives on those kind of teams. With Napoli, you know, Napoli, they played a very crafty game. You know, yes, Liverpool they were terrible against Red Star or Krasnodar, whatever they call themselves now. You know, they were terrible, and I thought they thoroughly deserved to lose that game. But, you know, maybe they needed that kind of result to bring them down to earth, because they're getting this thing in their head that they are unbeaten, and they're unbeaten in the league for good measure. Because if you ask me overall this season, Liverpool haven't hit third gear.
No, they haven't.
And you wonder, with the way they played last season, you wonder if or when they're going to do that. To Klopp's credit, over the last three seasons that he's been there, his team has gotten better. Usually, you know, towards the end of December and into January onwards, they've done well. So
without winning,
they've done well. So maybe you know they started this season so well in the league.
Yeah.
And apart from the way it's looking right now, it looks like if anybody can catch Man City, it looks like Liverpool are the only team that can catch Man City. So to that extent, on the league, they're looking good. But in the Champions League, you know, any mistake and they're out.
But you know, can I say something as a neutral, right?
Difficult spot.
I actually would like to see Liverpool go through at the expense of PSG, because that's the chaos I want to see. That's the chaos and the carnage I want to see in world football.
Thursday night football.
God knows
how much
they spent. You saw what Cavani and Neymar in the international friendly, them clattering into each other. Something's not right at PSG, right? And for me, they've been in denial for the last four seasons, right? They've spent, they've hired top-level coaches. They'll keep winning the Liga, you know, for the next 10 years in a row. Mm. But in Europe, you know, questions are plenty. Mm. And this season, you know, you would have thought that, you know, having Neymar in, okay, they had him last season, but they ran into, you know, some trouble. You know, they ran into Real Madrid, you know, and all of that. And this season, you would have thought, okay, you know what? They've tightened up a few screws. They've signed some players. They look more confident this season, right? They're unbeaten in the league. So you would have thought that carrying that into the Champions League, it's a gimme that they're leaving top big. Mm. Now, they could be out. What does that mean? Do they blow up the whole experiment? What does that mean for Neymar? Mm. What does that mean for Mbappe? That's the carnage that I want to see. So, unfortunately, Liverpool can go through. They can finish second, right? But I actually just want to see what's going to happen with PSG. Because now, remember, they're also having issues with financial fair play.
Yeah, they've got
all these stories that have come out with them. So, I just need to see, you know, what they do going forward, because they consider themselves a giant in European football. Well, let's see how you handle that adversity.
On paper, in terms of the quality of players that they have, in terms of how much money they spend, in terms of, you know, this whole massive profile, them and City, they're almost like, you know, like state, like how, who was it that said, you know, he doesn't think it's fair that they're almost like state-sponsored teams.
It was Wenger that said so.
Yeah, it was Wenger. Yeah. So you will find that their biggest challenge is they're coming up against Liverpool, who somehow just have this Champions League DNA.
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes even when they won the Champions League in 2005, they barely managed to win their last game against Olympiacos. So it's that kind of team where, you know, when the chips are down, they rise to the occasion. So
of the two teams, the PSG and Napoli, which one do you fear the most going into the next, I guess?
I think Napoli, not PSG.
Yeah.
Because they've got Ancelotti, and, you know, on a good day, Ancelotti can ride a good strategy in terms of defensive setup and then playing on the counter. But I think that Liverpool can beat PSG even in Paris.
You see, the only thing going against Liverpool is the fact that PSG still have to play Red Star. Right?
But Red Star are not out of it.
That's a guaranteed then, 3 points.
They're playing Red Star at home. Hey? They're playing in Paris.
No, they're playing away.
Away.
Resta not out right. of it. If Resta can avoid defeat against
I think they're
Napoli.
Away.
Napoli didn't beat Resta in the first game.
No, I understand that. But, you know, for me, Resta, you know, against PSG, I'm sorry. I don't think I've seen enough. You know, I think that's the one team they fear the most. I think they look at the others. They look at the others and think, you know, there's no Neymar, there's no Mbappe. They're going to take out chances.
The result they got against Liverpool, if they go into Napoli with that same mindset and they avoid defeat, then that game against PSG is going to be like a World Cup final.
Huh? Yeah, well, you know, I think we might find ourselves by the end of the group stages, because, I mean, Spurs are in a terrible position. United should qualify against Young Boys.
Mm.
At home against Young Boys, yeah, they should qualify. Who else?
Let's not go to Valencia United.
No, but then the thing is, if they beat Young Boys, then the Valencia result won't matter.
Yeah, it will be.
So
that win against Juventus was.
That win against Juventus
was really, came out of nowhere. I'll be very honest.
I don't think so. I think, you know,
I love my team.
I did say that with Mourinho.
Yeah,
when it comes to those games, even this game that they lost to Man City.
Yeah,
I think to an extent, you know, he was a bit undecided.
Mm.
You know, his strategy, he somehow missed it. But he has a way with those big games where he can plan something and then make some substitutions along the line. Mourinho always has a way.
No, that result definitely gave United a big sort of kick up the backside as far as the Champions League is concerned anyway, and they should do a good enough job against Young Boys coming up next week. That's the Champions League. Before we take a quick break, let's quickly touch on the big game coming up in England. I guess a big game because of the two sides playing, but I'm not sure if Chelsea Spurs has got a big bearing on where, you know, the season has meandered to so far.
Look, it's a London derby. This is the one team in the last, 70, 50, 60-something years that has stopped Spurs from actually winning the title, if you remember, right? So, Spurs, I think they still have it in for Chelsea.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chelsea also undefeated. So, you know, they still have a lot to play for. And, you know, they want to catch Man City. These are the games that they have to win against these teams. Mm. I mean, they were lucky against Arsenal. They played a wounded Arsenal.
They were lucky against United.
They were lucky against Liverpool as well.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure, you know, what Chelsea side, you know, I don't know. They're a bit deceptive this season, Chelsea. You know, there's some games where they've really been lights out.
Yeah.
But then against the bigger teams, they haven't actually dominated the game. Mm. Like I said, even in that game against Arsenal, they didn't actually dominate the game. They had the first period of, like, I think 15 minutes where they looked good. And then from there, you know, Arsenal took over. So I think for Spurs, you know, for me, guys, Spurs in the last 4 years, you know, since Pochettino, really they've been playing with house money. You know, I think for them, these games are just a measure to see, you know, where we are compared to them and what we need to do next. Mm. You know, so I don't think it's going to have a greater context on the season. There's still a lot to play for. But for Spurs, you know, they've got Arsenal soon. So, you know, I don't think you want to lose to Chelsea and then lose to Arsenal, you know, in a short space of time, because then, you know, you slip further down in the league. So I really think for Chelsea, you know, it's more about them trying to stay afloat with City. Whereas for Spurs, I think these games really, you know, it's an indication for them to say, you know, how far we are and where we still need to go.
Well, I think Chelsea needs to get something out of this game, because, you know, the draw from the last game has put them, you know, down the pecking order. And if they drop further points here, then it might affect their season. Because, you know, there's one thing when you keep winning, or when you haven't lost, there's always that thing of trying to keep up with momentum. But
yeah,
once you drop, well, it draws against a team that is around the same weight as you, might not be too bad. But one thing we've seen is that Man City look like they're running away with this season. So unless Chelsea can get something out of that game, then there isn't any chance. But for Spurs, on the other hand, they are beginning to see daylight between themselves and the top contenders. So this will be a chance for them to try and claw something back, because they know they have to face Arsenal, who are also in good shape. So, you know, the battle at the end of the day, there's a battle of, you know, remaining in the top four. There's also the battle of trying to see if you can compete at the end of the season. So, you know, it's one thing, you know, when you play against those teams, which is why I think, to for all intents and purposes, with Liverpool, they've played almost everybody,
yeah,
apart from United, amongst the top teams, and they haven't lost. That's what makes their season look so good. With Chelsea, we've seen them, you know, almost look like serious contenders until the last week. So it's going to be a very, very close game. But like you said, you know, it's a London derby, and there's so many of them, and every single one of them is a crunch game. So I'm not going to go with that thing that it's going to affect the race. I think that these are the games that will determine what happens in the season. Because,
okay, yeah. So the Arsenal, who do you guys have at the weekend?
Oh, away at Bournemouth.
That's when? Very easy.
Yep. You know what? Unfortunately, Arsenal, you know, they've lost that clout that they used to have when they go to smaller teams.
Yeah.
They don't give us that respect.
Yeah.
Bournemouth on fire, guys. I mean, Callum Wilson, plus he's got a national nod, Fraser and all of them. Nathan Aké at the back, so, you know, Bournemouth can't be taken lightly. And, you know, they gave a good showing against Manchester United, although B was late. But,
yeah,
you know, they're a decent side. They're established in the Premier League now.
Right? No, that's very true.
They're really established. True. And Eddie Howe's a very good manager. So it's not going to be easy for Arsenal. But I still think, you know, Arsenal should have enough. I kind of see resemblance of that Fulham game where, you know, you thought Arsenal were going to get, you know, like taken to,
yeah,
you know, like to the extreme, and then bam, some five goals start raining in. So I'll probably be surprised if Arsenal have.
So you're saying to us it's going to be a tough game, but you still think Arsenal can win by five goals?
No, what I'm saying is that, it, you know, on paper,
yeah,
right, it does have that look of, you know, Arsenal are going to be pushed. But I won't be surprised if Arsenal do come out and put in that same performance that they put in against Fulham.
Okay, Liverpool?
Watford.
Away?
Yeah, no, away. And this was the first game of last season, which ended in that 3-3.
Oh, draw. Yes, I remember that.
So, and Watford, you know, they started the season like a house on fire. But then, you know, it kind of tapered off.
Yeah.
It's going to be a difficult game. But
you see Liverpool win?
I think they will win, because they've got, like I was joking earlier in the show, the players have gone to the international window and come back with very good performances.
No confidence,
so,
yeah.
You know, they'll be looking good.
Okay, all right. I know that United are at home against Crystal Palace, so I'll take my 2-1 win, and I'll bank. Hey, look, that's what United do these days. I'll bank those 3 points.
There's West Ham against Man City.
City 5-1.
West Ham are on a resurgence.
Arnautovic wants to leave.
Yeah, he wants to leave, but that doesn't mean he still can't
City 5-1.
Honestly,
guys, City have been scoring.
Honestly,
like five,
I think that's
going to
be the surprise of the weekend.
Oh,
yeah.
Hola.
Are
you putting your head on the block?
I have that.
I'm putting my head on the block. Man City are not going to beat West Ham.
For once, I'm tempted to agree.
Are you?
Man City are not going to beat West Ham. This is
like a huge moment on Pitch Invasion.
Man City are not going to beat West Ham
on the same side today.
That's what I'm saying.
And
Man City are not
for West Ham,
West Ham
to avoid defeat against Manchester City. Okay, guys, here's my... Here, next week, what do I want? Because I know Man City are going to win it.
We'll give you water. We'll give you water,
wow,
to calm down.
I
think that's the trap game of the weekend.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think so too.
On that note, we're going to take a short break, and I'll give these guys like a couple of minutes to rethink what they just said. And we'll be back after this.
Only SuperSport can put you in a front row seat to the best football leagues this season. Catch every Premier League, UEFA Champions League, UEFA Nations League, ABSA Premiership and La Liga match live. And now, it's the only place to watch every minute of the Serie A on SuperSport 9. Get your front row seat and watch all the football that matters. Only on SuperSport.